Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Giving Sunday. Today, I want to talk about some things. 4.5 years ago, just a little over, we received the offering for this gym. 4.5 years ago. Now, that seems like a long time when you're saying 4.5 years from now. To me, it does. I mean, it's getting shorter. The older I get, 4.5 years, that ain't nothing. But 4.5 years from right now seems like still quite a while. I mean, for those of you that have eighth graders, 4.5 years, they will be in college or out of school. You know, I mean, 4.5 years, a lot of stuff happens. But you know, when you look back 4.5 years ago, it's like, good grief, that just went by like that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? See, that 4.5 years ago, no big deal. 4.5 years ago, this gym wasn't here. There wasn't a building here. And we've received an offering over $70,000 on a Sunday morning with half the families that are now members of Christian Ministries. And that just amazed me then. I was blown away by God's goodness. And now here we're sitting in the vision that God had laid on our hearts 4.5 years ago. We're sitting here. I mean, just look around. I mean, these walls up here. The speakers, the sound system, I mean, none of this was all the way. I was looking at pictures. I love that time-lapse thing that they have online. And I saw a few different people who had posted, and I know Michelle had some of the stage that we had that was here. It wasn't this stage, but God's done a lot in 4.5 years. Don't you think for a second that he's not going to do something just as big or bigger in the next 4.5? Because you got this many more people praying, you got this many more people believing, you got this many more people on fire for God, and as the numbers increase, God's math overwhelms me sometimes. Actually, a lot of time. Here's our vision today. On Giving Sunday, I want today not to be about us. I don't want to be about this building. I want it to be about the Lord. That's what today's got to be about. I don't want anything to be done today that's apart from his leadership. And I have been steadfastly praying about this, believing God for months on today and what would happen and what God would do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If you have your Bibles today and you want to turn to Colossians, we're going to be talking there for just a moment. And you can then look for Titus, because sometimes that's a hard one to find. A little after Colossians there. We're going to talk from both of these books today. We're doing so much on a daily basis. I mean, we're doing more in this generation than we've ever been able to accomplish in one day. Than we've ever really understood, because the technology we live in allows us to be more effective with our time getting stuff done. I mean, I was watching the photographers at the wedding yesterday, and I was just amazed at how they just click, 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 click. But I remember a time at our own wedding that the photographers that would receive pictures and do pictures, they'd have to like pop that thing open and put another 35 millimeter in and click, 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 click. And I'm thinking, good grief, it shouldn't be that hard to be a photographer. Now I'm not demeaning the practice. Please understand me. But when you click that thing 1,000 times, you ought to have one picture that was pretty good. See, you couldn't take that chance with the 35 millimeter. You had to make sure that every shot counted. Our technology, our ability to take pictures, our ability just to do anything has increased to where the fault factor is not as heavy. I mean, we're protected from everything. It's not even made. I met my brother's yesterday, and he was talking about buying one of those horses that have the springs on it. You know, he has one in there. So his grandkids, my brother's grandkids, I'm getting ready to be a grandpa. Anyway, he's up and he's doing this with the kids are on this thing and this springs. And he said, you can't get those anymore. And I said, yeah, it's because they're unsafe. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, don't you remember when we were kids, you get your skin caught in that spring? Someone else said, well, you shouldn't ride it like that. I said, you missed the whole point of getting on a horse. course you're going to ride it that way. That spring comes over and grabs your skin. And you're like, whoa, that hurt. Somebody protected a bunch of kids and they quit making those. So now they're worth a lot of money. He said, here's what I bought mine for. I said, I'll double your money right now. He goes, no, it's worth a lot more than that. But, you know, we're able to accomplish more on a daily basis because we got more things being looked out for. We don't get hurt as often. I mean, really, there's just a lot of things that are set up in our world to make us more effective. So as you just look back over the last week, I mean, go from last Sunday in your mind right now, go from your last Sunday right after we got done with church last week. What'd you do? Half of you can't even remember. You know why you can't? Because you've worked so much and done so much all week. What'd you do Monday? What'd you do Monday night? What'd you do Tuesday? What'd you have for breakfast Tuesday? What'd you do when you got up? When you go through your week, do you remember? Who? How about the conversations you had? Who'd you talk to this week? All the people you were talking to. What about the television shows? What about the entertainment? What did you do all week? Are y'all getting this in your head? Don't wonder about what I did. I'm talking about you right now. What did you do this week? What was your schedule? What was every... Are you not blown away by all you did? You start thinking about that and thought, huh. I loved when my daughter got up on stage at Leaders Academy and gave her speech. One of the things she said is she said, and I quote her, she said, I just thought I was busy before Leaders Academy. She got into Leaders Academy like, whew. What we're doing in Leaders Academy is teaching life. That don't surprise anybody that's an adult. Because kids aren't busy. They don't even know what busy is. Come on, adults. They ain't got a clue. I got so mad at my parents always saying, you don't have a clue. Yeah, I do. And they were right. I didn't. Again, we just, as kids, you just not, you don't have a clue. You think you got pressure now. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just talking about busy. Life is busy. What all we did this week. All right, now y'all bring your mind back to the message. I see some of y'all still thinking about your week. Oh, you can't even get it all in your mind. Here's what I want you to think about in this. There's two ways that this week that things happen to you. One of the ways things happen is intentional. You intentionally made something happen this week. I intentionally went to work every day. How many of y'all said, yep, I intentionally went to work? I did. I intentionally got up and went to work. I intentionally went on vacation. I intentionally did this. I intentionally got up and went here and did this. And there was a lot of intentional stuff that took place this week. Here's where we get in trouble a lot of times. It's the things that weren't intentional. They were. Let's see, the word circumstance just threw us into a situation. I didn't plan on this week spending it in the hospital, but circumstances led me to have to spend half my week in the hospital. See, some of y'all can say that. Some of y'all can say, well, I didn't intentionally mean to have to spend my week taking care of a sick kid, but coincidentally or circumstantially, that's what I did. Boy, something happened on our job, and I had so many things that I was expecting to do, and I had intentionally meant to do this week, but circumstantially or because of a situation that came up, my whole week got changed. How many of you had weeks like that? I was planning on going to work and had a flat tire. I was working, and all of a sudden my knee gave out. I was just doing my thing, and in my back, ugh, and I'm one thing after another. See, you didn't intend for that to happen. But we live in a fallen world, and not all the time everything that happens to good people is good. See, intentional and circumstantial. Are y'all following this? Here's the thing. Everybody has weeks where you got more intentional stuff done than circumstantial. And then other times we have weeks that circumstances dictated our time schedule more than what we intended. Now, everybody's going, Pastor, everybody here knows that. You're not teaching us anything we don't know. You're right. But I want to get our mind wrapped around this because here's the thing. Whether you spent the week doing intentional things or circumstances determined where you were going to be and what you were doing, was all of it done for the glory of God? Well, I didn't intend to be here, and all of a sudden your attitude gets sour and you leave God all the way out of that. Or you intentionally went somewhere and you're like, I meant to be here, and you're at a place you don't need to be. You intended to do it wrong. Huh. Whatever we do, wherever we find ourselves, in any situation, in any circumstance, come on, church, it needs to be all about God. And that's an encouragement to you today, because I think a lot of time in the world we live in, we get so busy at, well, I didn't mean to be here, or I didn't want to be here today, but I had to be because this happened, this happened, this happened. And all of a sudden, it became all about you. I had to be. It could have been said, God obviously had different intentions for me today, and this is a good time, right? Well, that flat tire, all I know is that I had to pull over, and I've read about a wreck that would have happened right about the same time I was driving. Well, God had a bigger plan than I did. See, how are you looking at your life? Is it all about God, or is it turning in? Come on, and we're so busy that God gets left out of our schedule a lot of times. And I want to encourage you, make your life purposeful. Well, how do I do that? It's not that you got to go be a missionary in Uganda. Make your life intentional, even though it can turn into circumstantial. But intentionally be about God at all times, wherever I find myself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you'll grow as you learn to know God better and better. I like this. In verse 9, they're praying for the Christians at Colossians. And in verse 9, God will give you complete knowledge of his will. Come on, that's a prayer that we pray as a church, as leadership, that God would give you, as you're sitting in his house today, God would give you complete knowledge of his will. God would give you complete knowledge of his will. Second, that he would give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, we wouldn't have near the fights in the house of God, and I don't think that we have a lot here, but they understand that there wouldn't be near as much junk going on if everybody had the same spiritual understanding and wisdom. From the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top, it don't matter. I'm not about placement. I'm just saying, from leadership, if we would all walk under the same spiritual wisdom and understanding, but, well, as we allow God to give us a complete understanding and knowledge of his will, and he gives us spiritual wisdom and understanding, here's what happens. In verse 10, you can honor, you can please God. And today, that's what I want to do. I want to honor and please God. Take your whole week and just understand that whether it was circumstantial or whether it was intentional, to God be the glory. Well, Pastor, I just don't know. Some bad things happen. I'm not saying to God be the glory for the bad situation. I'm saying about giving God the glory through the situation. God, I'm giving you glory through this deal. See, in lives, then, as you get a hold of this, you'll have a life that produces every kind of good fruit. I love the way it says that. Every kind, produce every kind of good fruit. Every kind of good fruit. Have you ever had any knowledge of how many different types of fruit there is? In the natural. In the natural, how many different types of fruit there is? I mean, there's just so many different kinds. I remember going to Nicaragua and Honduras, and both times I was down there, they had these little balls that had like hair type things growing out of them. And you break them open, and in the middle, there's a nut on the inside. But between the nut and this outside hairy stuff, come on, Alan, you know what I'm talking about. You pop that thing in your mouth and you're like, whoo, that tastes good. What is that? Well, that's a fruit, and I can't even tell you what it's called. You can say it. I'm not even going to try to repeat it. But I'm just saying, there were fruits I didn't even know about. You know, with the kingdom of God, there are fruits you probably don't even know about. In the spiritual understanding of things, there has been new levels that we've went to and living the best we can from glory to glory, which God says is available to us. And all of a sudden, there's a peace in our marriage, a joy in our marriage. We didn't realize we could have that. We didn't get married knowing that that was for us. God just supernaturally gave it to us. Whoa, this is awesome. Do you realize there's stuff like that available you ain't even heard of yet? That's why the Bible says every kind of good fruit, all of them are available for you. Well, how do you do that? You get to living according to his knowledge, will, and his spiritual blessings will pour out through fruit. The people who attend here at CMC, I have watched them grow in the things of God. And as they have done that, I've watched them grow in the blessings of God. I've watched it just supernaturally poured out on them. And I love that. I love seeing that. Titus chapter 3, let's turn there. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Says, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. This is us Christians. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle, show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts. Why was he saying that? He just said, I want to remind the believers. He's putting himself on their page. Come on, church, all of us once were foolish and ignorant, without knowledge. See, once we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were misled, we became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But come on, we're believers now. That was how we all once were, but we're not like that anymore. When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us. He poured it out. It was generously poured out through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous, gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Aren't you glad God poured it out on you? I mean, there are times you can go back and you go, right now I'm not feeling real poured on. Well, everybody's been there. I understand that. But we're not living disobedient. We're not hating everybody. We're not in this position where we used to be. Praise God, I'm in a different place. And I'm in a place now where I just know what I need to do to get myself back. We've all fallen back a little bit. And then all of a sudden, now I got to get back into things of God. And when you do, you start feeling that pouring coming. That pouring just pouring out. And it's just nice and it's good. Verse 9. Don't get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to the law. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first, second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. People like that have turned away from the truth and their own sins condemn them. Verse 12. I'm planning to send Artemis or Tychicus to you. As soon as one of them arrives, do your best to meet me in Nicopolis, for I have decided to stay there for the winter. Do everything you can to help Zenos the lawyer and Apollos with their trip. See that they're given everything they need. I think this is important. Why would he put 12 and 13 in there? Because he's given specific direction to the church. Here's what we need to do. Y'all following that? Here's what we need to do. You need to take care of this person and this person and this person. You need to take care of them. Well, let me tell you, there's a guy named Matt that's coming to church here in about 3 years. Church, we need to take care of him. I don't even know who he is. I don't even know that his name's Matt. Maybe it's Matthew, and he just shortened it up to me. There'll be a Matt come. There'll be a Steve comes. There'll be names we haven't even heard yet. And see, as Paul's saying, here's what you need to do. These people are coming. You need to take care of them. Getting cold chills as I'm thinking about it. There's people we haven't met yet we got to take care of. Yeah. Praise God, all y'all can get down to the lower building. We can grab a golf cart and carry you down there. You don't need a restroom out there. But you don't know Matt's concerns and needs, and he might need one two or three times during service. We got to have some things taken care of that we just hadn't even thought about. But boy, right there, just 14. Our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. I have never understood that verse more than what I do right now. Church, we've got a world full of people that have urgent needs. They need to know Jesus. Come on, they need to know Jesus. Then after they know Jesus, they need to be discipled. They need to be. They need to grow up in him and get some wisdom on how to live. Well, why? Because of what we just read in Colossians. The more knowledge, the more they get, then they can get every kind of fruit. Don't you want people to try that little thing with the hair on it? I do. There's fruit that y'all don't know about. There's fruit they don't know about yet. And I want them to be able to try it. Is this all coming together for you? I want to meet the urgent needs of others so that I don't become unproductive. That's Titus. The people who attend Christian ministries have submitted to the vision of Christian ministries. And here's what I found. Those that don't attend here, or those that have attended here and don't anymore, they're not submitted to the vision. And that's okay. Praise God. Hopefully they're submitted to another one. People move. They move to Wisconsin. Get a part of another vision, but be a part. But the vision of Christian ministries, I just read. And if you're feeling unproductive, I've given you an avenue to quit feeling unproductive. Start meeting the urgent needs of others. Because they got them. There's people dying and going to hell you work with. They have an urgent need. What are you going to do? There's people that are saved that you work with that aren't involved in church. What are you going to do? So we just start meeting the urgent needs. But as a church family I'm talking about today, collectively, we've got to be productive. I have felt unproductive several times. One of the most, and you've heard me talk about this, but it's the most unproductive I ever feel, is when I'm standing in line at Walmart. I do. I feel so unproductive. Because I just want to stand up and say, is there a manager that can bring more people down here? There is too long a line. And I have found that, you know, Springfield actually does pretty good compared to Kansas City. I've been in Kansas City several times, and you go to Walmart in Kansas City, and this line's, I mean, you're there for 20, 30 minutes. What in the world? I just can't believe. But when I get to Springfield, I haven't been to Kansas City in a while, I forget what Kansas City's like, and I'm still in line feeling unproductive. And I get so frustrated standing there, I'll switch lines. How many of y'all do that? I just can't stand in this line anymore. I've got to go over here. So I go over to another line, and you're standing there for a little bit, and next thing you know is you're watching the position you were in. And almost every time, I should have stayed in that line. Now I'm feeling even more unproductive than I was already feeling before I moved over. Or you get in the wrong lane of traffic. I was over there and I switched. I should have stayed right. Your phone ringing off the hook. Being productive does not mean being in the fastest line at Walmart. It doesn't mean that you've got to be in the fastest lane of traffic. It doesn't mean that your phone is not ringing or ringing. It's about meeting the urgent needs of others. Today, church, we have the opportunity to meet some needs. You say, well, how is that? It's through the offering that we're getting ready to receive. Because, see, here's the thing. It takes money in all of life to do the things that we do. That's why we all go to work. That's why we do what we do. Because money is the form of exchange we give for producing the things that will be able to further what's going on in the natural. So right now, we're trying to reach people in the natural to lead them to the supernatural. Well, we're going to have to meet them in the natural. So the natural is a form through has to operate with money. And so we're going to use money in the natural to lead them to something that money then they'll learn makes no difference because the supernatural supersedes that every time. And we prayed. We prayed on Wednesday night. God, we're believing you to meet every need. And here's the thing. I've got a piece that he has. Already, I said a couple weeks ago, the greatest thing that I can tell you today is God already has all the money that we need for this whole thing. Amen. See, and it's in our pockets and all we got to do is figure out how to get it into his house. He's meeting needs and he's doing it through his people. Here's the thing, he doesn't do that just, here, let me bring you a fish. Now he did, and if that's what it takes, he'd do it. But he uses his people to be that blessing. He'll use you to be the blessing at your work. He'll use you to meet the urgent needs of others. So he'll use you to provide the money that will build the building that will meet the needs of Matt, who we haven't met yet. All right, with that thinking, let's think about this. Where does the non-Christian world see the Christian? poor, hurting, not able to do anything. Same thing every week and nothing new. Does our community see us that way, or do they see us serving an innovative God? Now, God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I understand that. But his methods have changed. Several different ways he healed people in Scripture. See, his methods will change. Understanding that, does people see meaning in our lives? Does people see that we're part of something that's growing and working and thriving and living? That'd be the body of Christ. Do people see that? What do they see behind the actions of what we do? They see love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, and patience. What do they see? Necessary duty, envy, self-centeredness, pride, arrogance. Which one of those are they seeing in us? Well, if we're lined up with the things of God, they'll see the things of God. Do people see our good works and say our name, or do they see our good works and say his name? See, life's got to get to a point where it's not about us. Pray, Colossians 1:10. Lord, today I live to honor and please you. I live to stand on your word, and in doing that, I'm going to produce good fruit, and I'm going to grow in my relationship with you. That's got to be our prayer today. That's got to be our prayer. We've seen a need in this community for Christian ministries. There is a need in our communities for Christian ministries. Big time. Families are falling apart. We need a church that has families that know how to stay together. There's a need for Christian ministries. A church body that meets on Sundays, but it's not just about Sundays. It's about a Friday night. It's about a Saturday. It's about a church body who stands in the gap in prayer when somebody's hurting. It's about a church body who meets the needs of not only its people, but the people who need something from God. They can meet them naturally. It's about meeting a need for a nursery and a restroom. It's about meeting a need for a kitchen. See, we have so many sporting events here and outreaches. A building without restrooms, let me just tell you, is not good. I was actually talking to somebody this week, and they said, how in the world did you build this? I said, God's people showed up. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. He goes, you can't have a building without restrooms. Oh, I didn't know that. Nobody else knew that either, because nobody here told me that. We just did it. So now I find out that we're not meeting. But that code wasn't for Stone County, praise God. But we need some restrooms. I mean, everybody here would agree with that. Here's what I want to say today. Aren't you glad we're not setting up tents to hold these amount of people now? Help me all set up some tents at one point. Not very many of you, but a few of you. We set up tents here for years at outreaches and things we would do because we were believing for more people than our buildings could hold. Do you remember that? Right now, I'm believing for space out here to hold people that is more than what we got right now. And I want to continue to cast that vision because I think it's real important that we don't quit and just try to satisfy our own desires. Life becomes about us. But we will not be productive if we do that. The Bible's just real clear. I'm thankful for those times. I'm thankful for the rented tents. But here's what we're going to do today. We're going to go outside, we're going to pray, and we're going to thank God for what we don't see yet, but we're going to be putting a tent up today. It's just going to be a permanent tent. It's going to be one that holds more people. It's going to be one when people walk in, there's a little welcome area out there. There might even be some coffee. There could be some things for people to enjoy when they walk in, but for sure after they drink the coffee. The reason why we don't serve coffee up here is because it produces something that we don't have. A restroom is needed. I've had people ask, we don't have a restroom. We're not serving coffee up here. That's ridiculous. See, there's some things that we're in a position to now receive, and I believe that we need to take the steps to make that happen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get up here in just a second. We're going to go outside. We're going to use this as a time to view the restrooms, the kitchen, and the nursery. This is our first open house of our new facility. And it's really open. So when you walk out the door, you got to be real visionary. We're going to have some chairs sitting out there for Merle, for the wards, for my mom, for some of the people who are in need of a chair. Don't be going and walking around. You will have chairs right outside the door that we're going to have set up. In fact, I'll have Ben and BJ. Y'all head on back and make sure we got them chairs ready, and then I'll give some direction while you're ready. You'll be the first ones ready. I don't want you to be the last ones out the door. All right, so you can listen to what I'm saying from back there, and then pow. All right, here's what's going to happen. When we go out, there'll be some chairs sitting out there. But the rest of you who can walk around on the gravel, walk around. If you need a seat, we've got 10 of them out there. They're available. Sit down. Don't walk around. But if you want to walk around and check out. To your left will be the nursery. And it has an N. That means nursery. I wanted to spell it out, but I thought it'd be too long. And I'm not, anyway. I just put an N. And then the next room will have a W. It's amazing how a W and an M look the same, depending on which side you're standing on. The M has curves. So it'll be nursery, then women's restroom, and then men's restroom. And then the big block in the back will be storage and classrooms. And that has yet to be determined exactly how we're going to make the hallway and all that stuff work back there. So I didn't want to try to make all that to where you could see it. Here's the thing. Women, I understand when you look at things that are in the open, you're going to say, this is really small. Y'all look around right now in this gym. Does this look small to you? Every one of the women would come up here, this is really small. This is not small. When you go out there today, you're going to look around and you go, these restrooms look pretty small. They're bigger than Walmart. So if you go in, it's the same setup that we'll be using at Walmart, but there's a lot of toilets in there and sinks to meet the needs of a lot of people. So know this, when you walk out there, men help the women understand this is not small. In fact, you'll need to say this several times, this is really big. We took Michelle up to look at it yesterday, and I had Rick Bertoli with me, praise God. This just looks really small. And Rick said, that's really big. Men, help us out, all right? Because it is really big. It's just not enclosed, so it may look smaller because of optical illusions. You won't be able to see the sky eventually. When we walk out, this is not a time for a bathroom break or a time to get the kids out to the playground and go play. This is a sacred time that we're going to pray. And so I want to ask that we don't be running down to the restroom. Obviously, if there's an emergency, I would understand. But this is still a part of our worship service. Parents, keep the kids together with your family. We're going to pray with families. Do what you can to keep an attitude of worship as we walk out there. We will go out. We will receive the offering. Now, I'm going to talk out there for just a moment. And then we're going to put some worship music on. We're going to pray. You might walk around and pray. You might go to a room and pray. I mean, it's kind of weird to pray in the restrooms. Pray in the restrooms. Pray everywhere. We want God's hand and anointing to be everywhere we are in everything we're doing, everything that happens in that building that God has honored. So we're going to walk around and we're going to pray. And then we will come up and we will drop our offering in a seed pot. I want to put a slide up real quick and then we'll leave. This slide right here represents, we're in the gym, so we're down there where the building addition, it says right there. That's the gym. So we'll be walking into that. You can see up top what goes into the parking lot. There is a green thing on out in the parking lot on past where the ropes are that shows where the edge of the pavilion will be. So you can see that because we don't even have the drive-through roped off. But this is it. You go into the new addition. The nursery will be over on your left. There's a false wall that will be there, and it's kind of hard to explain. You'll see it as we get some more drawings. Women's restroom, men's restroom, classrooms. You can see all that when you get out there. Here's the way we've got it. We've got it in three increments to get this building into the dry. 50,000 is the first figure, and if you see it's in white, and down here on the key, it says in white, that is already paid for. So that's not a part of today's offering. Today what we're doing is going to the next level. The next level we need to raise is 67,000. That's not 17,000 more, that's 67,000. So if you add 50 and 67, where that line is for the 67, that will actually have been 117,000 at that point. And then the next one is on above that will be 48,000 more on top of that, which will make a total of about 165,000 that we need to get this into the drive. Here's what we're doing. Whatever level we go up to, we will be giving reports on this. I don't know if it will be every week, but there'll be a slide every week. So in the beginning, you can see every week, you can watch the slides at the beginning of the service, and it will tell you where we're at every week to get to the next level. So if we raise 20,000 today, then that line will be up or about where the storage is. That's that word, storage. But we'll raise that line each week as that goes up. And so we'll be reading it today, and we'll know where that new line is. But everybody good? Everybody good? All right, let's stand and make our way outside and take some time and just spread out all around, and we'll come out, and I'll visit when I get out.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.